When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Back with another episode of the Causeway Street Podcast. Joseph Pavone here, joined by Sean Dutra. Joel Pavone is here.
What up?
Hey, Celtics everybody. Training camp. We got a special guest from MassLive.com. Tom Westerholm is joining us. We're going to get right into it. All right, we got a lot to get into in this episode, so we're going to waste no time and bring him right in onto Causeway Street, making his debut on the Causeway Street Podcast. Tom Westerholm, what's going on, man?
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Tom.
How's it going, Tom? How's training camp been going, man? Are you as excited as this team is? You know, like all the rookies and everything, all this love fest going on.
They seem chipper.
Yeah, they're very over the top.
They are. Yeah, man. It's fun. It's like, you know, it's a fresh start for everybody, which is kind of the phrase that everybody's been using anyway. It's just kind of a, I don't know. It is a little refreshing just to, this team doesn't really have a ton of expectations. Like, you know, they're expected to be like decent, but not, you know, incredible, and it's a little bit different than last year. And I don't know if it's going to be a fun season, but I think it's definitely going to be interesting at the start, which it'll be an improvement over last year, hopefully.
How much of the joy and laughter is because Kyrie's not there?
it's not it. It's funny too, because you feel kind of bad saying that, because the dude was always pretty chipper. At the start of the year, you know, he was always like pretty, you know, like positive. Relatively polite positive. And positive, yeah. And everything else. And so then, yeah, I mean, he would just have days where it was tough to deal with him. But yeah, I mean, you know, now that, I don't even mean to say it like that, but yeah, I mean, now that he's gone and it's just, everybody's just a little bit easier to work with. I think he had such a sway over the franchise that I think, you know, now that he's gone and now that sort of the questions of, is our star free agent, you know, point guard going to leave? Now that that's gone, it's a little bit easier that way.
Well, what do you think about what he said during Nets Media Day about taking, you know, some responsibility as failing as a leader and other things that were involved with last season's roster?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you have to kind of feel for the guy. I mean, you know, I think most people can understand what it's like to lose a loved one and can understand why that would, you know, affect your mood and affect, you know, how you prepare for a game and how you come into a locker room just mentally. I mean, I think that can be really tough to deal with. And, you know, I thought it was good. He took some responsibility. And I thought that, you know, he still managed to throw a couple parting shots. So he was still kind of Kyrie-ish. But I think generally you had to kind of, you know, understand where he was coming from at the very least.
Yeah, I like the article you put together there, and I love the title. Kyrie Irving leaves complicated Boston Celtics legacy, deserves both blame and understanding. I'm gonna let you have the floor there with that. And not to get too into all the quotes and everything, because I think he must have said like at least like 800 words on the Celtics. I think it was someone counted how many words he said. But it was like a 4-minute response, and it was like close to 1,000 words. But like just in a nutshell, what did you mean by that with that headline?
Yeah, I mean, I just thought that, you know, anytime that you have a guy who has like kind of a complicated legacy like he did, it's never going to be as simple as just like he was at fault or he wasn't at fault. You know, I think you had to kind of look around the roster and you had to say like there were young guys on the team who, you know, could have stepped up in different ways, who could have like accepted roles in different ways. You can look at, you know, Gordon Hayward just struggled all year and that's not his fault, but, you know, that certainly played into the Celtics' lack of success. And, you know, it does kind of run the gamut. But as Kyrie said, you know, he was expected to be the leader. He came onto the team saying, I'm going to be a leader. I'm going to be a leader. I'm going to be a leader. And then he just really wasn't. So, I mean, I think it kind of goes both ways, and I think that's to be expected in kind of a complicated situation like this. It's just never going to be easy. It's never going to be simple to explain. And, you know, as fans, as media people, we would like it to be simple. We would like to tie everything up in a nice bow and say, here's exactly what happened, but that just really isn't the case. It's not something you can really do.
All right, so let's turn the old page key here. Let's look at this season.
Fresh start.
Yeah, fresh start.
Fresh start.
Hashtag fresh start. It sounds like a Subway ad. So
eat fresh.
Who's going to be the leader this year? Who? Now, we know Kyrie failed last year. Is it Hayward? Can Kemba come in and be the leader? Who's going to be the leader now that Horford and, you know, Kyrie's gone? Who steps into that role?
I think it's pretty unquestionably Kemba. I mean, he's been a leader since he was in, you know, at UConn. It's just kind of always been who he is. And, you know, I mean, in Charlotte, he didn't have a whole lot of help. So, you know, he was definitely the leader on that team and not a ton of success. But I mean, we've seen him be a very successful leader in the past, and I would expect him to continue to be this year. And I just think, you know, I don't know that he's going to be the team's best player. I mean, I think the Celtics will be at their best if Tatum is their best player, and I think that's kind of what they're hoping for. But
I'm with you.
I do think that Kemba is, you know, the 8-year vet. You know, he's the guy who's been around. He's been through the trenches. He's the guy who came to Boston because he wanted to win. So I do think that there is going to be a sense of they need him to kind of show everybody not only how to win, but also, like, you know, how important it is to do X, Y, and Z to be successful in the NBA. You know, how do you be a real professional player? And, you know, I mean, Kemba's the type of guy who I think can kind of shoulder that responsibility in ways that, you know, maybe Kyrie didn't. And, you know, that's not even necessarily a knock against Kyrie. I just think that's more in Kemba's nature to be that kind of guy. So I think it'll definitely be him. I mean, Hayward, you know, he is kind of he's definitely, you know, a veteran presence on the team, but I do kind of think, you know, Hayward's got his own stuff to kind of figure out. You know, he's and I you know, again, like, not even in a negative way. He just, you know, he's going to have a season now where he's fully healthy. Like, there's no excuses. There's nothing like that. You know, he's going to have to perform this year. And, you know, that's, you know, a pretty hefty responsibility. So I think it'll definitely be Kemba. And I think he's cut out for that role, quite honestly.
All right. This NBA offseason, the major talking point pretty much is the duos all over the league. You just talked about Kemba being probably the leader of this Celtics roster. But does the Celtics roster have a go-to duo, or is it going to change throughout the season? How do you see that play out?
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll change somewhat throughout the season. I think especially, you know, I think the Celtics season is really going to pivot on Jason Tatum. I think if he is the star that we've seen that he can be, then I think the Celtics are going to be really, really hard to stop. Like, they're going to have just an elite offense that there's just no real easy way to slow it down. And, you know, he's so skilled and he's so tall, and he's a real tough matchup. And I think that especially with all the other weapons around him, he could have a really big year. And if he doesn't, you know, I think that could really, you know, spell a lot of problems for the Celtics, because they are trying to do this, like, multiple timeline thing. So anyway, I think Tatum is probably the other guy that they're hoping is going to be a part of that duo along with Kemba. I think they're really trying to pin a lot of hopes on sort of the present and the future in that way, where they have Kemba to try to win right now, and then they also have Tatum so that they can win for the foreseeable future. And they're hoping those two guys will sort of carry things along. So, you know, we'll see if that works. But I would say that, yeah, like, in terms of duos, I think Kemba and Tatum are probably the guys that they're going to go to. And, you know, if Hayward's good this year, then all the better. And if Jalen is, you know, takes a big step forward, then all the better. And, you know, they'll go from there. But those two, I think, will be sort of the focal point of everything.
Yeah, that's leading to my next question. Where does Jaylen Brown fall in all this? Like, what is his role in this team? You know, obviously we had the contract extension, which is less than 3 weeks away. I mean, if you ask me, if you ask most people, we're not probably going to see him re-sign before the start of the season. But if not, what does that mean for Jaylen Brown's future in Boston? Is that still a possibility that he'll sign long-term at the end of the season? Like, where do you see him carving out the unique role that the Celtics are going to need from Jaylen?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's certainly possible that he'll re-sign and that he'll, you know, be here for a while. I think that's absolutely in the cards. It's tough to tell right now. I mean, it really depends on how he plays. If he's, you know, if he's really, really good, and you see, like, you know, hey, maybe this guy's got a couple of, you know, future All-Star appearances in him, I think at that point the Celtics probably, you know, try to really make the rotation work, try to really, you know, even though they're really loaded with young wings, I think, you know, they'll try to make it happen, because, you know, he's really talented and they obviously like him. And I do agree with you that there's very little chance they reach an extension agreement over the next, you know, couple of weeks, just because it doesn't really make sense for anybody. But, you know, I think we're going to hear rumblings of, you know, like, is, you know, XYZ, is Jaylen going to be traded for this? Is Jaylen going to be traded for that? Just because, one, we always hear those rumors when it comes to the Celtics. And two, you know, there is sort of a sense like this team could consolidate You know, it's talent. If they traded Jalen for a young big or, you know, somebody who rounded out their rotation a little bit better, you know, there's Jalen, there's the Memphis pick, there's all these things that they could do, if they wanted to try to piece something together, right? So, you know, whether something happens or not, I wouldn't be surprised if we hear, you know, rumblings from somewhere, you know, as the trade deadline approaches, you know, are the Celtics going to make a deal? Are they going to try to do this or that? So, you know, it's tough to say with him. I mean, he's such a talented, you know, he's such a talent. He's obviously so athletic and there's still so much more that he could grow into, but, it is a crowded rotation for the Celtics right now.
Well, you just brought up the, Celtics front court. Kent is, as he's known, but everyone else in the front court is
a lot of question marks.
Yeah. A lot of question marks, relatively unknown players up front. How do you see this playing out in terms of no Al Horford, no Marcus Morris? No Aaron Baines, defense. How do you see this playing out?
Yeah, I think Enes Kanter will definitely start at the beginning of the year. He's, you know, he's kind of the most veteran guy. They trotted him out there with Kemba as one of their like big free agent signings earlier this summer, which I thought was you know, kind of telling that Danny Ainge went out and said like, hey, you know, Kemba and Enes Kanter were our options A and B or whatever he said, which. You know, it was pretty clearly not true given the whole Anthony Davis thing.
Right.
But yeah, I think, you know, I think he'll start. I'm still of the opinion that I think Robert Williams will get more minutes this year than people are thinking. And, you know, he might end up starting some games. Just defensively, Enes Kanter is going to have a tough time. And, you know, I don't know for sure that Rob will fare any better. You know, he's a second year player, but I mean, he's basically a rookie when you look at how few minutes he actually played last year. So it would be a lot to ask a young big man like that to step into a huge role. But I just think defensively, he's going to presumably be able to bring so much more than Kanter can bring. And he's shown flashes as a really nice passer, you know, summer league and in his limited minutes last year. I mean, he can pass the ball a lot better than people would think. And I just think with, you know, all the switching that he could potentially bring and all the rim protection that he could potentially bring, to me, he makes a lot of sense as somebody who could get major minutes. And then when you start going down the rest of the rotation, it's such a crapshoot. I mean, I have no idea how good Vincent Poirier is going to be in the NBA. He's shooting threes in practice, which, sure. But, you know, and I obviously Taco, I don't think he's going to play much either. So,
yes, finally.
Wait, you're saying he's going to make the roster though. Is that what you're saying?
Making the roster.
I mean, he better make the roster after they trotted him out to every single charity.
Oh my
event
God.
I mean, like,
you're right here first. He's making the roster.
If he didn't.
I say put him in Maine, sell that place out every single home game, you know, and then ease his way into to the Celtics. But we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, no,
Jerry's still
out. Yeah, I think that's probably pretty close to what's going to happen, but we'll see.
All right, he's Tom Westerholm of MassLive.com. You can check out his stuff at MassLive.com/Celtics, and you also find him on Twitter at Tom_NBA. That's at Tom_NBA. Tom, this was great, man. Appreciate it. We'll do this again sometime.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Later.
Thanks a lot, Tom. Well, breaking news. Taco Fall will make this roster. There it is. Shit, for all you green teamers out there worried that he wasn't going to make it, there it is. It's official.
Oh, he's making it.
Tom just said it.
Well. Yeah, oh, he better make it.
Yeah, you know what? It's just too many question marks right now in that front court, you know?
Yeah.
Talk about going small, positionless basketball, but I'm with Tom. I mean, Robert Williams, just for defensive reasons.
Yeah.
You got to give him a shot out there, especially in the first couple of weeks of the season. You know, I don't think this is a case of, oh, Robert Williams going to go straight to Maine this time around.
No,
I think he stays up here. You know, he stays up here with these young guys, you know, Poirier and Grant Williams. I mean, we just have to see what they become those first couple of weeks of the season before we can actually see how the rotation worked itself out.
Yeah, I mean, outside of Poirier and
Poirier, is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, we've settled on that.
Yeah, we settled that a few weeks ago.
Oh, all right.
Outside of Frenchie.
But yeah.
Is that a slur? Hold on, man.
Nah, man, Frenchie. What's wrong with Frenchie?
Frenchman?
Let's call him Frenchie, man. That's got some connotations.
All right. Outside of Poirier.
The Poirier?
And Kanter. I mean, he's what, 6'11", Kanter?
Yeah.
All right. And Robert Williams, is he what, same height? Okay.
7 feet. I give him 7 feet.
All right. Outside of those guys. Grant Williams,
I guess we'll find out soon with the new NBA rule.
I know, that's right. Go ahead. Grant Williams, that's a nice little tease in case you missed it. Grant Williams undersized. Daniel Tice undersized. that's about it. That's the extent of your depth up front.
How important is the front court though?
Now you're questioning how important was Al Horford the last 3 years?
Al Horford's a great player. These guys aren't great players. Okay. If you're looking for size, you're looking for like.
Well, Al Horford gave you size. He gave you versatility,
playmaking,
I'm like, not hating on what Al Horford defense. Brought.
Like.
Dude, I'm just saying.
On this team, do each one of those guys that I just mentioned have even one of those things that we're talking about?
So I think this team has lacked a rim protector.
That loss with Al Horford. Yeah.
This team has lacked a rim protector. You could say Al was a rim protector, but it wasn't like a.
The last couple of years, he was more of a rim protector than he ever been in his career. Because this team needed it.
Right. But I think Robert Williams can be that guy. If he becomes more disciplined, which I think probably that Brad Stevens has been going over defensive rotations all summer with him.
That's true. And they've been gushing over his work, I think.
Yeah, especially man. Brad all right. Stevens. Like, no, that could be the savior. And Poirier.
booty.
I mean, I think those are your two biggest guys with upsides. I think you know what Cantor's going to be. Cantor will be a little bit of a, I think he'll turn into a sixth or seventh man type role on this team. Like he sort of has been with every other team that he's been on, like a solid guy coming off the bench.
I'm not denying like Robert Williams' work ethic at all or his desire to improve as a basketball player, especially on.
Are you trying to compare him to Al?
I'm not trying to compare him to Al. All I'm saying is he's still pretty young.
Yeah. There's
no team yet. You know.
Yeah, we're talking about eight rookies here.
Yeah, man. Not,
think about it. And, if you add Poirier.
And my whole concern with him defensively, because he is known as a shot blocker, but his one-on-one defense, I'm just worried about the timing.
Yeah, see, that's
no
the thing.
Pun intended, Time Lord, I get it.
I wasn't even thinking about that, but no, that's my thing with him on the defensive end. He's a little late on switches.
So eager to block
he's
the shot.
Eager to block. He'll jump for any pump fake he sees, but we got to wait and see what happens.
They've been working on that all summer. That's the only thing that I think Brad Stevens has been working on with this dude is just, here, play this whole practice and don't try to block a shot once. Hey, just Jua, stay on the ground.
Hey, Jua, how happy was Sean when he heard Tom Westerholm say that
Tatum's the best player on the Celtics?
Tatum's going to be the best player
on
the Celtics.
Hell yeah. I love that.
He said that the Celtics will succeed more this season if
he's the best player.
If. That's a big if.
Well, he was the best player on Team USA.
He was not the best player on Team USA. Stop saying that.
Yeah, man.
Like, look at it. Are you really worried about the front court, though? Are we really that worried about the front court?
Yeah. When you lose somebody like Al Horford.
So,
yeah,
I mean, other than the Sixers.
Steven said it this week. He's like, we're going to have to change up our whole front court schemes because you lose a lot after the last 3 years of Al Horford.
Right. But other than the Sixers, who are you worried about in the East? Front court wise, not and don't say Marc Gasol. Don't say Brook Lopez. Those like we're talking centers right now.
Okay, the Bucks.
Okay, you're worried about Brook Lopez dominating the game.
I'm worried about the MVP of the fucking league.
Yeah, we're talking about team defense as a cohesive unit. We're not talking about
have guys on this team, Marcus Smart, that you can throw at Giannis. You can throw a bunch of different players at Giannis now. If he gets by him, you may not. If Robert Williams can't be a rim protector, then you'll be struggling. I'm trying to make is that's the whole freaking league. There's no give me rim protectors on a championship squad right now.
I don't think it's about pure rim protector. I don't think that's what Joel's talking about.
Yes, Giannis beat you to the rim.
I'm just talking about defense as a whole in the front court.
Okay, this team's going to give up a lot of points.
You don't need size of defense to defend in the league anymore.
Who's your defensive anchor? Without seeing them.
You don't need one.
Without the eye test.
That's not how Brad Stevens works.
Marcus Smart is the defensive anchor on this team.
Without the eye test, he's not even going to start. I could see this team giving up a lot of points. That's my concern.
Okay. Okay, and I think that is yet to be seen because I think what this team is going to be is a very, very good perimeter defensive team.
Okay, fine. Every team just wants to just shoot threes against something, then
have
fine.
You watched the NBA in the past 5 years? That's all the teams
so
do.
So then what happens?
They're adapting.
Okay, I would agree with you. Right, if Antetokounmpo was in the West, you're going to play Antetokounmpo in the playoffs. How did that work last year?
Well, Sean, how's three-point shooting looking for the Celtics? That's another concern.
So if you can defend a three. Are we talking about defense or are we talking about...
Those are my two concerns. Defense is my biggest concern with the Celtics.
Okay.
The second one is three-point shooting.
So I'll give you that. I'm going to say the Celtics are going to be fine on the defensive end.
Because you don't have that spacing the way it used to be without Al Horford.
Brad Stevens is going to develop schemes to throw off other teams. Like, that we're going to be fine. You have enough athletes. You have enough guys that can play defense. Now, if you're... If you're talking about,
it's no more pick and pop. It's gonna be like pick and, you know, try to get open, trap a deal type of offense for Brad Stevens.
Well, I'm talking about defense.
Okay.
So I'm just saying, don't worry about the defense. I think the defense is gonna be fine. Offensively, yeah, maybe we don't shoot as many 3-pointers as we used to.
Speaking of pick and roll, man, how's Kanter going to guard the pick and roll? He doesn't have a good track record
I don't think that you're going to see a ton of Kanter. I think, you know, they didn't sign up to a huge deal where they have to play him minutes. They don't owe him minutes. You know what I mean?
But you're running thin, downloaded.
So maybe you play Kanter and Robert Williams more often. Maybe you see that pair on the court a lot.
All right, well, let me ask you this then, because since we're talking about Kanter right now, what did you make of what Kanter had to say about his old teammate from Utah, Gordon Hayward? He went on record to say, this is before me today, that he needs to be eyeing the NBA All-Star game. And then at training camp, he talked about how he's going to shock the world, Gordon Hayward.
Well, Kanter's been buying that. He's been bigging up Gordon Hayward all summer.
Yeah, didn't he say something that we talked about last episode too?
Yeah, the All-Star thing.
Yeah, the All-Star game thing, and then he kind of piggybacked on that this week on saying that he's going to shock the world, Gordon Hayward.
Great, I'd love to see it.
All right,
So
does Gordon Hayward play a little more like four?
No.
All right. I'm just saying.
No, they're gonna.
That would be shocking the world.
They're gonna play three wings. They're gonna play three wings a lot. I think if you're going up against the Bucks, though, that's when you're gonna play Williams and Kanter probably together to have some more size. But I mean, we talk about Hayward. I think we beat this to a dead horse last episode. I think he'll be.
I don't think that's how that saying goes.
We beat this to a dead pulp. We beat. What is it?
We're beating a dead horse.
We
beat this to a dead horse.
that means we killed the horse.
Fucking murdered that bitch. Run faster. It's like fucking Kentucky, the second place Kentucky Derby horse right now.
The reason I bring it up is because it's like dead. Do you take that as, you know, with a grain of salt because it's a Ness Kanter, or do you buy that?
That's what Sean's gonna be saying to Kanter. Run faster.
Like, obviously, if Brad Stevens said that, you'd be like, oh, shit. But, like, you know, it's Kanter, so I don't know how do I gauge this?
I think everyone's going to be positive about Gordon Hayward. You've seen a lot of good things. But to my point that I made last week, I just don't think he's going to get back to Utah Gordon Hayward.
See, that's the thing. That would be shocking the world.
That's
what I'm saying.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay.
I think he'll have the best season as a Celtic, which is...
Would it be shocking the world, though? Because that's all Brad and Celtics coaches and... Some other players that have played with him all summer have been saying, like, oh, this is going to be the
year. That would be shocking the world, Joel. If we went in and scored 25 points, 6 rebounds, and 6 assists, that would be shocking the world.
People all over the world would be shocked.
Yeah. China.
Those people, everyone. The entire world.
Antarctica.
Shocked.
They'd be like, what? God, what? 25-6-6 from Gordon Hayward?
All right.
Man, I'm going to go kill a penguin tonight.
All right, before we get into Joel's Antarctica. Before we get into Joel's, in case you missed it, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this, but
Antarctica.
Let's just go back to what happened in Brooklyn just for a couple of minutes here, all right?
I barely got a chance to talk to my grandfather before he passed from playing basketball. So you tell me if you would want to go to work every single day knowing that you just lost somebody close to you doing a job every single day that everyone from the outside or anyone internally is protecting you for. Like, hey, just keep being a basketball player. So throughout that year, it just became rocky, and a lot of the battles that I thought I could battle through in the team environment, I just wasn't ready for. And I failed those guys in a sense that I didn't give them everything that I could have during that season, especially with the amount of pieces that we had. So my relationships with them personally were great, but in terms of me being a leader in that environment and bringing everyone together, I failed.
My biggest complaint with what happened or when Kyrie talked about his experience in Boston was that, okay, he went through what he went through. I get that. Everyone mourns differently. It affects everyone in a different way. Okay, I'm not going to knock him for that. My biggest beef with what he said and his explanation as to what happened was that he talked about how 2 years wasn't enough. He talked about how, you know, young guys and clashing and you need veterans. The same stuff he's been pretty much saying since last year, you know, when things were bad. These are the type of things that have come out of his mouth about experience. But what he didn't answer was, why did you leave?
Yeah.
Did you not think it was going to happen? Did you not think that you can click with these guys? And if that's the case, that's okay. You can say that. If that's not the case, then just flat out say, hey, I wanted to team up with Kevin Durant and go back home. Just say that.
He can't because he's...
Why can you say that?
He's a sociopath.
What can you say? LeBron James left Miami to go back home, right? Okay, that's your home. Okay, we get that. just say that. Listen, I want to do something special with Kevin Durant. He's my best friend. Like he's said in the past, we're good friends. We wanted to do something together. We wanted to win championships together. And we thought that Brooklyn, or at least I thought Brooklyn, was the place to do that.
Yeah, he could have, and what would that have done for anybody? We all know that shit anyways. I think the most shocking...
I would respect him more.
The most shocking...
I would be like, at least he's being honest. He's being 100.
No respect. Because guess what? That was calculated. The reason why I played so bad is because my grandfather died. Okay, the one thing no one's going to shit on you about, that's what you use as your fucking big excuse?
But that's my point. Just be honest.
Hold
be
on.
100.
Hold on. People lose grandparents all the time. They have to go back to work. I'm sorry, if I'm going 4 months in and my boss comes to me and says, hey, you're underperforming, and I'm going, yeah, my grandfather died 4 months ago. That's why I'm underperforming. They're going to be like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I don't even have a problem with that. Okay, you know what?
I have a major problem with that because no one's going to shit on him.
Okay.
That's the one thing that he can go back and be like, oh, isn't sorry,
that,
Kyrie.
Isn't that what
you're
doing right now?
He's trying. No, I don't give a fuck.
that's what
he
I'm
picked something that, like, Joe Slay was like, I'm not going to get on him. Everyone mourns. No, fuck that. No one mourns like that. That's ridiculous.
It's different, bro.
If he has an attitude problem and all that stuff, or the mood swings, the everything that we saw, okay, that's your reason for that? Okay, that's fine. Whatever. Yeah. You deal with death the way you want to deal with death. Okay, I'm not knocking him for that.
I'm knocking him for that.
I'm knocking him for...
Be a man.
Not saying that, look, the real reason why I left, get to the root of why you left Boston.
And get to the root. And get to the root that last year, this wasn't about your grandfather. This is about you wanted out. He wanted out. He was teamed up with Durant at the All-Star break. And from then on out, he was, you know what? It'll be a lot easier for me to leave if everyone hates me. That's what it was. So he just started blowing things up. He was a disgruntled employee that decided, I'd rather get fired than quit. That's what we had with Kyrie during the end of the year. And the fact that he blames on his grandfather is fucked up. That's fucked up to me.
Well, that's not getting fired. That's just him choosing not to re-sign with the Celtics.
Well, the Celtics going to re-sign him?
Yeah.
They would have. Fans don't want to hear it, but
they were going to re-sign him.
100% would have.
But, okay.
You were saying.
Time out. The Celtics may have done it, but in what's more important, I think, is the forum of public opinion. Did any Celtics fan really want him back?
You were saying the Celtics,
I would say it's about 70-30.
You were saying the Celtics need to walk away from Kyrie Irving, not the other way around. You were saying the Celtics better not even attempt to offer him anything.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, then. Because you wanted to go the young route.
Because
you wanted to say
he wasn't he.
Yeah, but
I think
the majority of Celtics Nation felt the same way.
Exactly.
Sean,
that's why.
You don't think that?
Basically,
I think so. I think the majority did.
Basically,
Felt like that once all these reports, as soon as the season ended, were like, yeah, he's not gonna resign here.
No, that was in March. That was in March.
Yeah,
and
but
guess
what?
All season he became a disgruntled employee.
You guys, you say you would, but I don't believe you. They weren't gonna like boycott the season if he stuck
for
around.
Real,
they would have been upset, but then they would have been like, right around this time of the year, here we go. Let's do it, guys.
Yeah,
let's do it again.
Maybe Kyrie won't be a douchebag this year.
That would have been the thing. Because in year one, where was all of this in year one? There was none of this in year one.
Because he made sense. He like came in, said all the right things, played hard, was sort of a leader, then got injured, and then I think he realized then like the next year he just came back and the bottom line was how is
there
that
was
no that's exactly what happened.
That was expectations.
You said
expectations.
No when I just said facts.
No, it wasn't facts, bro. It's your opinion. You've been saying this the whole time. This is what I think happened. This is what I think happened.
The first year
there was no expectations because Gordon Hayward went down. Every NBA analyst said they weren't going to be higher than a 6 seed. And they were the number one seed almost the whole fucking season. 18-game win streak.
That's exactly what I'm saying because of Kyrie.
But there was no expectation. Okay, because of Kyrie. Okay. That's not what you were saying before when they had a number 2 seed, went all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. Oh, they did that without him. Without Kyrie, they don't get that far because of their seeding, number one. They don't have one of the best records in the league in that season.
Do you think that... That Kyrie was a good employee last year, a good Celtic last year.
No, he was all right. He was decent, but it's not like it was just one thing though. It was multiple things that could have changed.
Tied at all into the fact that he wanted to play with Kevin Durant somewhere else, and that it's easier to leave somewhere where they don't want you.
Well, now, yeah, when you look at right. Everything, the way things unfolded, but
yeah,
but this goes back to what I said the moment Isaiah Thomas got traded. I was like, wait in 2 years to see if he's unhappy again.
Yep.
What happens when the Celtics don't win in the next 2 years and they don't go as far as everyone thinks they're going to go, right? And then it's time for him to re-up. And he says, you know what, guys? Not feeling it. That should be a legit concern.
No, it shouldn't.
Because it goes back to him being happy. You're right. So if he was happy, we wouldn't be having this conversation. He'd still be here.
Right. But you know what? I also think that if there was an opportunity for the Celtics to... Well, actually, if Hayward didn't get injured, this is probably a whole different story, too. Because I think Kyrie was in the camp of, I want to play with another superstar. And that just didn't happen here. So he decided, like... just to play his way out. That's what happened. Like, looking back on it now.
The Hayward injury made matters worse because, let's face it, Hayward was nowhere near who he used to be last season. I think maybe Kyrie thought, you know what, he'll be a little better. He'll be a little further along. Maybe he won't be the all-star version. He did just have another surgery. But then when that didn't happen.
Right around Thanksgiving.
And then when all the younger guys came with, you know, big heads and big egos. It was just a recipe for disaster.
And let's face it, Boston was never on his list of destinations when he asked to be traded to begin with.
Sure. But I don't know. At the end of the day, I was actually a little bit shocked that Kyrie didn't just not answer the question. Were you a little shocked that he just did not answer the question?
No, I knew he would say something, but I didn't think he would say all that.
See, I thought he would throw...
I was surprised that he said, I failed.
I mean, this is pre-calculated. You know that too, right?
All pre-calculated.
He spoke with Nets PR. He said, look, you're going to address it because if you don't, it's not going to look good.
Didn't your grandfather die last year? Use that. That's exactly what happened.
I don't think it was like that.
That's exactly what happened.
You're going to get the question. Just answer it and move on. And Kyrie just, trust me, I had to transcribe this guy's quotes all year long. He did what Kyrie does, just rambled on and on and on. And that was the best you're going to get out of him in terms of explaining himself.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because, I mean, he did. That was the first time he spoke since choosing to go to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
He hadn't talked to the media.
There was no press conference.
Exactly. So, I agree with you, Sean, that, he was like, this is what I'm going to, he's been planning this all summer. Like, all right, this is what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
And if they like it, fuck it. If they don't, I don't care. This is what I'm going with. And I completely agree with you on that. But it just boils down to him. I don't think he knows what he wants. Honestly, realistically, I don't think he knows what he wants. He's on this journey to find happiness.
Sounds like we're talking about a child.
Yeah, well, okay, you're right.
Like a 14-year-old
child.
You're right.
But you left a great thing in Cleveland, bro. You don't think if he stays in Cleveland?
But Joel, Kyrie lives in reality, man. Not everyone lives in reality. We should have known from that freaking ESPN first take interview from the very beginning.
Bro, we talked about that. Remember the lost episode of Isaiah Thomas? Like, we were talking about how, like, this is going to be Isaiah's year. And then, boom, the trade happened. Like, oh, we got to scrap that episode.
The Celtics wouldn't have got Kyrie Irving. That's what you're forgetting about.
No, I got you.
Now you got Kyrie Irving on your team.
Listen.
Like we said, a top 10 player. He's locked up for 2 years. I would be surprised if before the start of the season, Kyrie Irving doesn't sign an extension. I will be surprised if that doesn't happen.
All right, listen. Also, long term, I'm with you, man. This is the right move. And this shows how patient Danny Ainge is, right? Because, I mean, what? Read the list of names that we've been talking about the last 2 years. Right. Jimmy Butler, DeMarcus Cousins, Paul George. Kyrie Irving is better than all those guys.
Yes, I know.
He got the best player.
Then what's the risk? The risk
Short term, Sean.
What?
Short term.
If you look at Kyrie's and Isaiah's career numbers, they're not that far off, even though Kyrie has been to the finals 3 times. But
thank you,
LeBron. He's never been a number one guy like Isaiah has.
That's yet to be seen.
Yeah. So I'm gonna put my feelings out there, okay? This is my initial reaction to this trade.
Let him out, man.
I get it. Like, I get it that Boston loved Isaiah Thomas, right? You have to look at it like, okay, Isaiah was great. We got the best out of Isaiah.
It's going to be in the DVD special. When we put it on.
All right, cool. But
when we all die for my wedding? Release it then, the Golden Edition?
I'll make sure that's somewhere, like, open in case something happens.
It'll be like the Dominican Republic, no reports, and then like 4 months later, all of us dead.
Yeah. They'll be like, we haven't heard a Cosby Street episode in a while.
But it's true, though. Like, you remember that ESPN interview? Do you remember the ESPN interview? It was like, but why, though? And he was just like, I don't feel like I need to, you know, explain myself. It was like, so why the fuck did you go on ESPN then?
Yeah, man.
If you weren't going to offer any explanation. It's been like that. So he kind of took a little bit of a break that first season because, again, no expectations. Oh, this team. Oh, no going to Hayward. This team might not even make the sixth seed. It was like, no one's paying attention to the Celtics. And I was like, oh, shit, the Celtics have been the number one seed for almost the entire season. Oh, okay. oh, Kyrie goes down. Oh, okay, okay, here it is, guys. They're definitely not going to go anywhere. Kyrie's down for the season into the playoffs. Oh, shit, game seven of the Eastern Conference Finals. Oh, they're a quarter away from making it to the finals. Oh, when Kyrie comes back and when Gordon comes back, this team is going to be unstoppable. No LeBron in the East. And then they shit the bed. They shit the bed. And Kyrie. it wasn't just Kyrie. It was Marcus Morris. It was Terry Rozier. It was even Al Horford to a certain extent because
I mean they were chucking threes, man, and that's what got them there. So I honestly didn't have a problem.
I'm not talking about the game seven. I'm just talking about like last season as a whole.
As a whole,
because even when the young guys or especially Jaylen Brown were called out the veterans, yeah, they responded. But Kyrie wasn't happy about it. Al Horford was just like, yeah, I mean, I see what he's saying. Al Horford was just like, I see what they're saying, and I see what we're supposed to do, and I see that what they're. So it was a lot of individual shit. That I agree with Kyrie when he was saying like there was too many individual goals and there was never one team goal.
Well, I mean,
that's you can easily see that.
That reflects leadership. And if he's supposed to be leading on a team, he's got to take a part of the blame there. I don't know. I'm down to turn a page on Kyrie though, man. I'm so ready. I don't want to think about Kyrie anymore.
I think next week we have a good chance to end the streak.
So. I think we'll be all right because
you know why though, especially?
Yeah.
We're going to have preseason basketball.
Hey,
right? And we're not going to preview the season until the following week. So his name will come on when we talk about the Nets at some point. But the preview show is a little down the road. So.
Okay.
All right. We'll preview the NBA season the way we always do here on Cosby Street. We got the Western Conference, of course, and the Eastern Conference. We do both separate episodes. And then before you know it, because the NBA finally realized no one wants to see six fucking preseason games.
Yep.
Before you know it, in a couple of weeks, it'll be time for the regular season.
We ready. Who was the first game? Sixers?
Charlotte? Yeah,
Rozier. Preseason.
Bro. Yeah. Are you talking about the regular season?
Yeah,
right. Oh, Sixers. Yeah, Sixers. Yeah. Yeah. All right, Sixers in Toronto. Toronto's going to be here.
Damn, they got a Charlotte to open up the fucking season? The fucking
TNT primetime, bro.
Yeah, I was like, damn. Not really
Michael Jordan's a special guest referee.
Michael Jordan's like, hey, you want me to get that tequila deal? Let's get me on the first primetime game.
We got to have the first game of the season because that would be the only televised game all season. Please. Please. Throw me a bone here, guys.
This episode of the Cosby Street Podcast is powered by BetOnline.ag. That is BetOnline.ag, your go-to website for online sports betting. And right now, when you head over to BetOnline.ag and enter the promo code CLNS50, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Guys, you don't want to miss out on these bets. Right now, BetOnline has a wager for if the Patriots can go undefeated. Also, will Mahomes throw for 56 touchdowns? These are bets that you can win big money on, big payouts straight to your bank account when you bet online with betonline.ag. Head over to betonline.ag or you can use your mobile device and join today and make sure you use the promo code CLNS50. All right, it's that time. It's time to wrap up the show.
One question before we wrap up.
What's up?
Because I want to put this Kyrie thing to bed.
You keep saying that, but it's not going to happen.
Did you get the closure from his comments?
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine.
No.
I got closure because it cemented the fact that he is a fucking douchebag.
No. I mean, I said it when I was up when I was camping for like 10 days when I called in. And it's
when
just
you were
like,
finding yourself?
Yeah, when I was finding myself. I was trying to pull a Kyrie and I was like, let me see. Let me see if I can understand where Kyrie's coming
maybe
from.
If I just look at the stars.
I was one with nature. And I was like, maybe he's just never going to find happiness.
Joel came back with like two beads in
his hair. I was going to say, you had that feather in your hair. I didn't put those two things together.
I did have a little mini fro, but that's, you know, that's common.
Did you meet Native Americans over there?
Maybe I did.
Yo, they're called Indians, bro.
No, they're not.
Joel, feather's not dots. Joel's going to boycott Thanksgiving next month. Jeez, next month. Thanksgiving.
Bro.
The hell did the year go?
Bro. All right, I got a okay, this is something new to me.
I feel you got a lot on your chest today, John.
This
what
is something new to me.
Hurry up. We're trying to get to a case you missed.
It's October,
man.
Right?
I'm dying to know what Joel got.
What's October? What's the mainstay in October?
My dad's birthday.
No, come
yeah,
on.
Yeah. That'd be us. Sorry, man.
Halloween?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, after my dad's birthday. All
right.
Yeah.
Halloween. I October. Guess. It's Halloween month, right?
Yeah.
Why the fuck are there so many people that are like, yeah, bro, you celebrate Halloween? Do you even know what it's about?
That's a thing?
Bro, it's the worst fucking thing.
Oh, man, it's the woke era, bro.
Yo, I can't believe it. I'm talking to people. I'm like, hey, you know what? It's not going to work. I was like, hey, you know, I'm talking to my team. I'm like, hey, you guys want to be, want to do something for Halloween? You know, we can dress up, whatever. Somebody's like, you know, I really don't celebrate Halloween. I go, oh, why? Like,
it's not a religious thing.
Oh.
That's why they don't celebrate it.
He said,
like, you know,
why?
You know, it's really, if you really look up the history of it, you know, it's really bad. Like, and I was like, and they like, what?
I,
like,
I know like some cultures that feel that way, like yo. Haitians and
what, yeah.
Well, Jehovah's Witnesses don't celebrate a lot of things, but the Jehovah's Witnesses,
they don't celebrate nothing.
Yeah,
bro, not even birthdays.
They don't celebrate the day they were born.
No. How shitty does that have to be as a fucking kid, where your dad is fucking
bro.
Making up some religion and then fucking and you can't go get free fucking candy? How bullshit is you? And then you're like, hey, Dad, I want to be Buzz Lightyear. You know, I love Toy Story. We saw it together. We love that movie.
No, he probably
I
want to
be Buzz
probably,
Lightyear for Halloween. And he's like, listen, you're not dressing up as anything for Halloween. You're gonna sit there and you're not gonna.
Dad, I want to be Buzz Lightyear. Who showed you Buzz Lightyear?
Is that a Kit Kat in you?
What
is where did that, you get that?
Oh, are those Milk Duds? The only time you see Milk Duds is Halloween.
When did I buy you Milk Duds?
Sugar filled food,
bro. But these people act normal in regular days.
Processed sugar on top of that.
These people who don't celebrate Halloween, they just don't celebrate Halloween. They're not like weird. They're just like no.
Don't celebrate.
They're like, oh no, I'm cool with Columbus Day, but
yeah.
Halloween.
Yeah, right.
Halloween.
I bet you they celebrate.
I'm cool not working on Columbus Day.
Yeah. I bet you they're celebrating if they got paid.
Oh
they
yeah,
got paid.
If it was a payday off, pay you know, off. People would be like, hey, so like, let's go out to get some fucking candy.
Yeah.
Bullshit. Fucking bullshit. You guys watch out. This is the year where it's going to start standing out. Because I've heard mumblings in the past, but this year I'm like...
Yo, you should be
the
like...
The fourth thing I've heard.
You should be the Christopher Columbus, like, woke spokesman. All right? You should tell everyone, if you don't work on Columbus Day, yeah. then you represent what Christopher Columbus was. The person, the real Christopher Columbus was during his era.
Damn right.
you need to put everybody on at work.
Anything else you want to get off your chest there,
that, bro? That was all I had. Like, who the fuck cares what the origin of Halloween is, really? If you think about it, now it's just an excuse to either go get fucking wasted and go look at girls dressed scantily clad, and you fucking can wear something that maybe I'll hook up with a chick tonight because
Jesus.
I look like fucking Beetlejuice. I don't fucking know.
This took a completely different
turn. My regular self. No, but that's what it turns into.
Well,
it's a fucking candy. Get back candy. It's not like, hey, we really are excited to celebrate the day
ghosts
where evil
dead.
Spirits yeah. came into the world right. and we let everyone. It's like, what? And then we see human sacrifice. It's like, shut the fuck up. Does that on Halloween? Anyways, that's
all right. Well, that's going to do it for us on the Cosmic Street podcast. Yeah, right. That's in case you missed it.
Right. In case you missed it, Halloween has been canceled this year.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if Elizabeth Warren tries to cancel Halloween.
Oh, Jesus.
All right. Jeez.
Every episode.
Fucking can't stand you guys, man. Can't stay on topic
let's
here.
Let's go to in case you missed it.
Yeah. Can we finally?
I had to get some things off my chest.
Let's, see what you got, man. Make condense.
I don't know if I'm going to top any of this.
In case you missed it.
All right. In case you missed it, the NBA is clamping down on its listed height and age of its players.
Age?
Yes. Not just height, but age.
Coming after those European stars that come over saying they're 14.
It's going to be like Ricky Rubio is actually 47 years old.
Wow.
According to Mark Stein, NBA teams notified that certify and submit the precise height and age for every player within the first week of training camp, according to league sources.
How many years older is Kristaps Porzingis than he says he is?
I don't know, but for, you know,
two
for
years.
For years.
Not that far off.
Yeah. For years now, some players have been listed as taller and some obviously been listed as shorter than they really are. The league clearly wants to change that.
Why?
Marcus Gasol is definitely 40, though.
If you remember... Buddy Hield.
Oh, Buddy Hield. Yeah.
Buddy Hield. Someone.
I was gonna be like, no, he's just black.
It was his birthday, and someone was interviewing him. He was like, "Oh, happy 25th birthday!" And he was like, "Actually, I'm 24." And then they were like, "Oh," and then that.
Wait, that's what started this whole thing.
Well, these are some of the examples that they've thrown in terms of like the age thing.
The report's like, that's not what Wikipedia says.
That's wow. So yeah, he said that it's always been an era, and he's always had to correct people, and it's never been changed. And then obviously you got with the height thing, you got Durant that's saying that he's 6'8" when he's more like closer to 7 feet. Remember KG refused to say that he was any taller than what, 6'11" or 6'10"?
Yeah, I love how they highlighted what was it last year between Durant and was it DeMarcus Cousins?
Oh no, I was at the Olympics in 2016.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
DeMarcus Cousins was standing next to Kevin Durant when they were taking like a team picture, and he was joking saying that I'm trying to get away from from Kevin Durant, because now people are going to realize that I'm not as tall as I've been saying I am.
Yeah, because he wants to be taller because he's a center, and Durant wants to be shorter because
he's still considered a small forward. We all know that that's
but
not the case.
Does it matter? Like, in the NBA, height doesn't matter
Well, it's been happening for decades. You know, Charles Barkley's the one that comes to mind.
Yeah, 6'6".
Yeah.
Okay, what is Durant afraid of, though? Like, somebody's going to be like, well, you're 6'11", you got to play center now. Like, no one's going to fucking say that. Yeah.
Well, at this point, that was KG's main thing. Yeah. Right, KG was like, I don't want to play a center.
KG was a low-post player.
Not only that, but he came from the 90s, so yeah. Completely different basketball.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, I'm with you. It doesn't matter as much now.
It's a little weird, yeah.
Oh, positionless basketball. Right. Yeah, so I guess the quote-unquote barefoot rule, players usually...
Oh, yeah, Isaiah Thomas is my height.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you walk around the locker room, we were eye level. I'm like, you're not 5'9". There's no chance.
How tall are you, bro? You're not 5'9"?
No.
Hello, short motherfucker.
You know that, you fucking asshole. You're 5'10", so you know I'm not 5'9".
Yeah, you did that to yourself.
you did it to yourself, bro.
I was going to be like, oh... Isaiah's not 5'11". He's not listed at 5'11".
I was going to say, what is he listed as?
No, he's listed as 5'9", but he's like 5'6", 5'7". Yeah. Tops.
Little short fucker.
Hey. Oh, even Kemba. Kemba, he's listed as 6'1". And people are like, no, he's more like 5'11". 5'9", or 5'10".
Hey, I'm 5'8", man. Let me know.
Yeah, so that's your test. Go stand next to Kemba when you get a chance.
For media day?
No, man.
I'm thinking right now. I'm looking back on it. He's
6 feet.
I think he's just about 6 feet. If not, he's 5'11". You're 5'10", right?
He's not stout. Yeah. He's not stout.
Yeah. No, he might be 6 feet. He's like just under.
Allen Iverson definitely was like 5'8".
Oh, yeah.
Oh, by the way, Allen Iverson was at Encore last week.
Oh, John Stockton, by the way. I don't know why I just thought of him, but...
He's like 6'5".
John just gave me that face like, what are you talking about?
Just came out of nowhere.
No, when I was an intern and he was being inducted with Michael Jordan, he's nowhere near 6 feet. He was listed at what, 6'1"?
Something like that.
Yeah. He's 5'10".
Normally in the past, players are...
That's pretty close to 6 feet.
Yeah, but they're measured...
That's 2 inches, man. What do you mean? No, that's 3 inches. 6'1". He's listed at 6'1".
Oh. Good, done?
Yep.
All right. Players are usually measured...
Doing the fucking teacher thing right now, bro?
Players are measured... You going to say something else?
Yo, bro! Dad! What's wrong?
Mr. Pavone, I'm sorry. Class is yours.
They're measured with their sneakers. Yes. Going forward. No sneakers, all right, to get to the exact, because...
Yeah, but I don't even think a sneaker would give you 2 inches. They're just lying. Yeah, like, that's been going on for years.
You could have
your
picture day shoes. You could have the shoes that have a little bit of extra oomph in them just for picture day.
You can throw in some extra, you know...
They don't work, trust me.
Extra Dr. Scholes. Get that extra oomph.
Throw in like 7 Dr. Scholes and Isaiah Thomas' shoes. He's like, look, I'm 5'11". Why do you sound like you're 4'2"?
Plus, a lot of these players, they've been listed the same height since like
high slow grind. You gotta say that.
Slow grind.
It's that slow grind.
I'll get there someday.
Hey,
nah, see,
slow grind.
I'm 5'11". See, look at me.
Go Wiz.
All right, what else we miss?
All right, in case you missed it, you guys want to know who are the slowest NBA players in the league right now?
Ooh, can we take a guess?
Yeah.
Oh wait, is he a Celtic?
No, that's just okay, good. There's no Celtics on this list.
When was this recorded?
This is recently. This is according to NBA 2K20.
Marc Gasol, is he in there?
He's in there.
Yeah.
He's in there.
He's definitely like...
That's bullshit.
What do you mean that's bullshit? Did you watch the NBA Finals?
Guy can fly. Guy's got some wheels.
He lost like 25% of speed.
The slowest player...
from his game.
The slowest Hence player why he in was the NBA.
Shooting more threes than his whole career.
No, he couldn't even keep up the floor. Like, he was the last guy back.
He's actually number 11. His speed, according to NBA 2K, is 38, but with the ball,
miles
32.
Per hour?
No, just like the rating, the ranking, whatever. Rating. Right.
Who's the slowest person?
My guess is you're going to have to go with... Is it like a star?
No, I mean,
it can't be a star.
Yeah.
It's got to be... Damn it. Whoever you say, I'm going to be like, oh, I should have thought of that.
What about Bismack Biyombo?
No. Yeah, he's in there.
Is he top 10?
Yep.
He's number 13.
Oh, fuck. Okay, I got to find someone
slower. You said it's not a Celtics player, right?
I'll give you guys a hint.
Okay.
A former Celtic player, recently.
Greg Monroe.
No.
Kelly Olynyk.
Yep.
Slowest player in the league?
Not the slowest, but one of the slowest. He's number 6.
Why does your face just light up when you said slowest player in the league?
Did I get it?
Like, you got money on this?
Did I win a prize?
Number 6. His speed, according to 2K, 31. With the ball, 25.
Miles per hour.
Not miles per hour. Stop saying that. Another former Celtic is on this list.
Wait. What about...
Top 5.
Bogut. Bogut's got to be the slowest guy in the league.
He's not in the league anymore.
Yeah. Right now, but this season, he's not on the team.
He's not in a, he's not in NBA 2K.
He's not in NBA 2K this year.
Free agent? No. Seems a little ridiculous.
Are you upset?
A little bit.
It seems a little ridiculous.
Seems like a 13th guy on a bench that you'd make in a fantasy draft. Just
I give up. Who is it?
Aaron Baines, number 5.
No, he's not that slow.
Yeah, he's pretty slow.
Not as slow as Gasol.
He's like, he's pretty slow.
Yeah, no, he's a little slow.
Baines can move it.
Number 4, Zubac in the Clippers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's slow as fuck.
26.
Oh,
and 26.
Oh, oh.
You know who.
Yeah.
Who is it?
The freaking, the biggest guy I've ever seen in my life.
Speaking of Giants. Oh, yeah, he's number 1. He's tied for number 1.
Oh, wow. Who's he tied with?
He's tied with Robin Lopez.
Oh, great. Man. Sideshow Bob and
Lopez,
and Brooke Lopez.
Number 2?
No, they're all number 1. Oh, these three guys.
Three-way
tie.
You rang.
That makes
you
so
rang. That's Boban.
I know. Thanks, man.
That's all Boban. Every time I see him, I hear.
I just think of Shaq.
You rang.
Yeah, I forgot about Shaq.
Shaq always said.
That was fun.
Now, do you guys want to know who the fastest?
Oh, yeah. Speedy Claxton.
Yes. Yes, number 1.
Done.
How did you? Speedy Claxton.
That's a throwback.
Wow.
Spud Webb, too, made the list. No,
we're showing our age right now.
Oh, Speedy man. Claxton. What about
Kyrie? Westbrook.
The fastest? No, De'Aaron Fox.
Kyrie or Westbrook?
With the ball, right? No, their speed, they're
are they differentiating it, or is it the same?
Who's the fucking fastest, Joel?
Whatever. All right, on to the Kumpo, number 13, guys. 90 for speed.
Just give us number 1.
86 with the with the ball. Ben Simmons, top 10.
Really? I almost guessed him as the slowest player, but I guess he's pretty fast.
What?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
93 by himself, without the ball. With the ball, he drops 84.
How many times does he go off on a fast break and then he realizes no one else is with him and he pulls the ball?
Know,
it happens all the time.
He's like, let me come back.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Like, oh, wait a minute. I'm not a scorer. What am I doing?
I can't put this in the bucket.
James Harden, number 8, 89, 89, with or without the ball.
Yeah, he always has the fucking ball. That's funny.
Darius Garland, 90 and 90.
Garland, huh?
Number 6.
Who the fuck's Darius Garland?
Cavs,
bro.
Okay.
Derek White, 94 and 88. Number 5. John Wall, even though he won't play this year, probably.
Oh, John Wall's fast as fuck, yeah.
92 and 92.
That dude hasn't played since him and Kyrie went at it that game. That was one of the best games of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Westbrook, 96, 96. Tied with John Wall for some reason.
Number 4.
No, he's number 2. Him and his number 2 is like 2A and 2B. Number 1.
De'Aaron Fox number 1?
De'Aaron Fox, 97.
We could have ended this 7 hours ago when I said De'Aaron Fox is the fastest guy in the league. Jesus Christ.
I had my money on Westbrook.
No, Westbrook should be higher than John Wall. That's ridiculous.
Wait, right? Kyrie's not even top 10?
He's number 2. No, he's not top 10.
Who's number 2?
Really?
Westbrook.
Westbrook and
Wall.
Oh,
I thought you said they were 4. No. Well, tied for 3rd.
I guess Kyrie.
Tied for 2nd.
Kyrie's more handled. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, definitely Kyrie. Anyways, who's got the best jumping ability?
Steph made this list, and he's pretty fast
off the ball. Fast,
yeah, yeah, I'm exactly. All right,
what's next?
All right, in case you missed it, congratulations to former Celtic Jared Sollinger Senior now on the birth of his twins, Jared Malcolm Xavier Sollinger Jr. and Gemma Marie Sollinger.
Wait,
yeah, I got the same question Sean does.
Jared Sollinger is now Jared Sollinger Sr. because he had Jared Sollinger Jr.
There you go.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I was like, his dad?
There you go. Do you need me to explain how that works? Like,
I get
like
it,
last
man.
Week in the whole four decades thing?
that was hilarious. Yeah. The Vince Carter thing. So he's been playing since he was 2?
How old is he?
He's been in the NBA since he was 2.
42?
He's 42.
He's been playing for 40 straight years?
That seems a little bit of a stretch, Joel.
What the fuck are you guys talking about? You guys are so mad about it, too.
Yeah, that was one of my brighter moments.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
Yeah. So there's that.
Really?
That was the best part of the episode. That was it. Yeah.
What the fuck? What? I still... What?
Well, so, congratulations, yeah. Jared Sollinger.
Yeah, still not elite.
Oh, man, I thought you were going to say, he got on a G League roster or something.
Isn't he just of Tasty Burger fame now? Thought he opened up his own franchise.
No.
Where's he playing now? He's playing somewhere.
He was supposed to be playing in China, got cut.
He'll probably be like an assistant coach for Ohio State this year, you watch.
Yeah.
Just fat as fuck.
Where did you fish out that news?
It was on our Twitter. Popped out on Twitter.
Congrats, Jared!
He follows us.
He follows us? At Causeway Street.
He does, yeah.
So it pops up, his shit, whatever he posts, shit pops up.
But didn't he start, following us like after he was in the No, he was still on the team.
His pops actually started following us first.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Yep. In case you missed it, I'm got to report this sad news here of the bodying of Shaquille O'Neal after Damian Lillard came back at him on a diss record. You guys hear about this?
Yeah, I heard about it, but I didn't even bother to listen to the music, though.
This shit was dope, bro.
So, like, every time everyone's like, wow, Dame's a really good rapper, I'm like, nice, and I'm never going to listen to it.
And I never do it, yeah. And I told myself, I got as far as to look him up on Tidal, saw the album that just came out, and then I just carried on with the rest of my life and just didn't even click on it.
Oh, wow.
So I got to, like, really give this guy, it's just something about it. I don't know what it is. Every time I listen to him,
I agree with you on that, but, like, this I listen to.
So how did this whole thing start?
Well, remember when Dame was on the Joe Buns podcast, like, a month ago or, like, 2 months ago, him talking about how for, like, the last 2 years he wanted Portland to sign Carmelo Anthony, and then I guess I didn't listen to that whole episode, but I guess later on in the episode, obviously they started talking about music because, you know, Dame, he has a rap career. And one of the hosts brought up, like, oh, you think you're better than Shaq? Because they're talking about, like, NBA players that dabbled in the record business.
Yep, Shaq's name always comes up.
Exactly. Right. And so then he was like, no, I'm definitely better than Shaq. And so then everybody since then has been waiting for Shaq to respond. And then Shaq finally responded. He dropped a diss track. So Shaq,
you think you got better music than Shaq?
I think I rap better than Shaq. People weren't looking at it like it's a real rapper. It was like that Shaq rapping.
That's Dame Ryan. The daddy has to come out of retirement and spank one of these undisciplined children.
Now it's time to be disciplined.
It's time to pull up that belt and whip a little ass.
Here we go.
Yo, yeah, what's wrong with these little cats? I can tell they little, listen to their little raps. Always bragging about their little max contract. Dame got a little money when it comes to Shaq. You see this flow, got a little Hall of Fame on it. Dame shoot jumpers, Shaq still bang on it. Are you kidding me lyrically? Not physically, mentally, vividly. Seen it before, you might give it to me. I'm on a yacht in Little Italy. Riddle me when you was young. Did you see my MVP like a trilogy? MVP candidates, you are not one. Platinum plaques on my wall, go and get you some. Lyrically, I'm 3 times finals MVP. I can't believe some car called as a team. How you say that you better than these when you ain't got more chatter than these? What you talking about? Legendary, I'm a hip-hop scholar. I'm trying to get a billion, give the fuck about a dollar.
Okay, that was Shaq.
Okay.
All right.
Shaq still got bars.
Okay. Here is Dame's response.
Dollar. He say he the GOAT, I come for his body. Plant him cause he bought the copies. Should've just passed me the torch, I got no remorse. I beat him like Rocky. I fill the tank up with diesel. You jealous of me and I see you. Cause on this day, originals just can't fuck with this sequel. I'm new school, got new hits. Space Jam, not blue chips. Hangman, yo shoe shit. Dame 6, I'm too lit. Big name, got big brand, but you corny. Gift bags get purchased. Every time you get horny, then they repo. Love you when you was in beast mode. Loki thought you was a cheat code. Know that you shoot for the cheap hoes. Shoot any work like your freak throws. Know you see my pockets deep, so you flexing ain't really a thing, bro. We both could be working at Kinko's. And Kobe, when you them rings don't owe. Nursery rhymes spitting. Small cars sitting, oh. Icy hot poster boy. TNT snitching you. Big man hating. Mad at my existence. Had a song with Bad Boy. No Jordan to the Pistons. Still getting to the chicken. This ain't nothing new to me.
Okay.
All right.
That picked up.
So, I mean, I saw the buzz on Twitter, and I'm like, I got to hear this track. So this is the first time I've ever heard a Dame track. I got to say, it was pretty good. I mean, the Shaq track was pretty good. Shaq, I don't know when's the last time he put out a song, but the response on point, because the day Dame released it, when he released it, all he said was, got to go to practice now. And just Shaq hasn't responded since.
It was light work.
Light work. So.
All right. Now I want to hear his album. Now I'm interested.
Yeah.
I think he's one of my favorite players to watch. Like, he's easily one of my favorite players to watch. I'm a huge fan of him. But I don't know. Every time I'm about to listen to his album, I don't do it. A lot of people have been telling me to do it. A lot of people, especially in the, it's just Clevis, really. Clevis Murray, he when it first came out, he was the first person that told me about it. Like, his album's really good.
Yeah.
And I heard the one before wasn't bad, but they're like, this one, he really comes hard.
He went in.
Yeah. I think he has Wayne on it too. He has a couple features on there.
Yeah. I mean, I think in the rap world, he's being taken serious. So I think it's worth peeping.
All right. I'll check it out.
I'll
check it out, and then I'll let you know how I feel about it next week. How about that?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I see.
Little report there.
Yeah. I mean, when Shaq came out originally, it was like his debut album back in, what, like 94?
Shaq Fu?
That shit was dope.
Yeah, it was.
Outstanding was my joint.
He had that one song with Biggie. That was a good song.
That was a good song, too. You're right.
Yo, he got Biggie on his track. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yo, he rapped with MJ, too. He got on with Michael Jackson, too.
That's right, yeah. Yeah. He got a song with Michael Jackson and Biggie. That's like Dame making a song with, like,
Kendrick
Lamar and
Frank Ocean.
Well, did he make a song with Wayne?
No, who's the
John Legend? Maybe.
Oh, who's the? Oh, who's the Weeknd?
Like the Weeknd.
He's the closest, like voice wise, like tone.
Just don't say Chris Brown.
Yeah, no, I won't say that.
Yeah, the Weeknd.
Fucking 50 Cent.
Hey, what if he gets on a song with Weird Al? Then I would listen to it.
That's the only way you listen to it.
Yep.
You know, but
why?
Listen to this whole track. Forget the album. Just listen to this whole track, and I think you'll be like, oh, okay. You'll be surprised.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, let's both check it out, then we'll talk about it next week.
All right,
yeah?
Sounds good. I won't do that.
Yeah. As always, check us out on causewaystreet.com. All your media day updates. Sway's been killing it this week. And follow us on all social media platforms. Blah, blah, at Causeway Street.
Sway's definitely turning into... So this is a little joke we had today. Sway is like... the wedding connoisseur now. Isn't this weird, man?
What do you mean?
I didn't know where you were going with
this. I get invited to weddings, man. At fucking weddings. Hey, what are you doing? Well, you know.
Yo, let's chill this weekend.
I thought I would go to a wedding this weekend.
People just want me to see them get married, man.
Sway gets invited last minute. Sway gets invited like 2 years in advance. Sway's
part of the wedding
sometimes. There's no time limit for when Sway gets invited to a wedding. Yeah.
I'm always down for a wedding, man. Weddings are the best parties.
Nah, man, I hear you, man. They are the best parties. Everything's usually fucking free. Just go and fucking rage.
And you know what? This weekend is going to be on the Cape, man. So it should be fun. It's the last one. I'm calling it the wedding season finale.
The Cape in October is to die for.
So he's about to go hit up the Baba Ganoush special down there.
Yeah, wedding season finale, wedding season premiere, not too far away.
Fuck yeah, man. Fuck
DR.
Yeah.
DR. February.
Yeah.
It's like a good break.
Fucking get amped about it.
This is the only
solid
time.
Break.
Yeah, this is the only time Sway is not going to be at a wedding for the next couple months.
Yeah, man. The only time I've been to weddings in like January and February, it's been fucking cold as fuck. And they just, you know, people that are getting married, they're like, you know.
I've never
cheaping out a little bit. They're like, oh, we can get this for like half price in January.
I've never done it before.
Let's fucking
do it. We'll get married outside and on a Friday.
In January, on a Sunday.
On the beach.
On the beach.
Nantasket. See you there.
It was just beautiful. The sun was out. It was a crisp 32 degrees.
They got a band playing some steel drums who can barely move. They're like, ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding, ding. Yeah, I'm just joking, man. I like winter weddings, bro. I like winter weddings too, man. I do.
Especially if they're a destination wedding. Am I right?
All right. Celtics are back. Full swing, of course.
Preseason.
Training camp. Preseason. All that stuff. We got you covered, man. Head over to causewaystreet.com. Plenty of content.
Rosia's coming back.
I'm back in my zone. Here we go. This is that time of the year where I go in. Nothing but content coming up.
And we're going to be giving away tickets next episode, so stay tuned.
You buying those tickets?
No.
All right, just kidding. But you never know.
But subscribe, though. Subscribe to us, regardless if we give away tickets or not.
Oh, fuck everybody, man. They don't even fucking do shit when we are giving away tickets.
Nah, don't say that, man. We're on Spotify now, so we're getting more traffic.
Okay, so if we give away tickets.
Spot us. And we're like. On Spotify.
No. Because last year we were like, hey, these fucking dope tickets to the season fucking opener. Just.
Tune in to us.
Subscribe on...
iTunes.
Hey, but a lot of people did, though.
A lot of people did, but not as much as, you know... People were like, hey, can I get the tickets?
You know
Stitcher.
What?
It's like, hit a fucking button on your iPhone, and then you can get the ticket.
And take a screenshot. You know what?
It's that simple.
Let's see how many people do it. Let's do it. If we get enough people, we'll do the contest again.
You buying these tickets?
I'll talk to CLNS. All
right, cool.
We'll get them.
We'll see.
Nicholas!
I mean, it's the Raptors.
It's the Raptors or the fucking Sixers?
No, the Sixers Raptors are in Philly. Home opener.
We've been over this.
Yeah.
For like the third time. But no, You're not going to see Kawhi.
It's a Friday.
That would be fun. You can see Kemba's debut at the Garden.
I think I'm going to buy tickets.
Drake will be there. Gucci Mane probably be there. Gucci Mane doesn't miss on any Celtics games.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. Let's see how much you guys really want these tickets.
Jada Kiss.
Next week. All right, let's see what kind of response we get from this.
Millie's.
And then we'll decide.
All right, and on that note, we out.
Later, guys.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Listen. Now you got Kyrie Irving on your team. Listen. Like we said, a top 10 player. He's locked up for 2 years. I would be surprised if before the start of the season, Kyrie Irving doesn't sign an extension.